listening to The Corbett Report. CorbettReport.com.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to another edition of The Corbett Report. I'm your host, James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, coming to you, not as always, from the swanky climes of Osaka, Japan, with episode 502 of The Corbett Report podcast, Reportage in Japan. And yes, today I am here in Osaka for a number of reasons, which I will get into shortly. But before I get into that, I wanted to introduce you to something that you may not have seen on the news about Japan, but you probably should. It's this little thing, which happens to be a facial recognition gate, which has been recently installed in the Osaka metro system, so you don't have to do a thing like buy a ticket that you actually use to ride the metro. Now you can ride with your face.
Even users are confused. This is a facial recognition ticket gate. Developed in collaboration with major printing company Dynapon Printing, it allows you to pass through using your face if you register in advance.
We will try the facial recognition. We were able to pass through very smoothly. The facial recognition ticket gate is very convenient as it eliminates the hassle of having to hand over a ticket. People using wheelchairs, strollers, and people with disabilities can use it without stress.
That's right, on the back of the Osaka Expo hype of 2025, remember that? The Osaka Metro decided to install some biometric facial recognition gates that are quietly snarfing up the biometric details of Osakans. The funny thing is, of course, hardly anyone uses those gates, but man, it's so convenient to be able to just walk through with your face, isn't it? Anyway, well, that's not why I came to Osaka, but it's certainly part of the fun of visiting Osaka. But luckily, of course, you don't have to use the facial recognition gates, at least not yet. So why am I in Osaka, you might be asking to yourself? Well, good question. And here we are in somewhere in Osaka with Brian Nolan. You all remember Brian? He was, of course, in Solutions Watch talking about community gardens and that sort of thing. I will put the link in the show notes in case you don't remember it. Brian, thank you so much for hosting me here.
No. Nice to see you again.
Yes. I am here specifically for an event that you have organized today for a dearly departed member of the Corbett Report community, a longtime subscriber who appeared, for people who saw my Media Matrix presentation as it was being done live, there was actual Q&A from the students. And one of the questions came in from this bearded old Japanese man who was just living a couple prefectures over and who I had not yet met in person at that time, but he was asking questions about teaching and about the media landscape. And it was through that Corbett Report member, Tsuyoshi, that I met Brian.
Oh, there it is.
And that was a few years ago now. So you tell me about how you met Tsuyoshi and how you met me through him.
Well, it was right at the beginning of the pandemic, and the vaccine had just rolled out, and there was a protest march in Kyoto, which was timed with a whole bunch of other marches around the world. And I met him there. And when he told me that he was a doctor, I was absolutely shocked because this little guy with the beard, I mean, I thought he was actually a homeless person. But no, he was probably one of the most influential people I've ever met. And meeting him, I would not have met you if I had not met Yoshi, because one day Yoshi said, let's see James and let's check out James's gig. And we did. And that's where we met. And a lot of people I would not have met if not for Yoshi. And I often compare him to like a ripple that he just landed here. And then the ripples just started going out further and further and just including some really, really exceptional, fantastic people.
And we haven't talked about the most interesting part about it. Not that he was a doctor, I mean, whatever. No, he was Dr. Blues. He was a musician.
He was a doctor outside, but he was certainly a musician inside.
And he loved to tell people about the time he was in the U.S. and playing with Eric Clapton, as in playing along to Eric Clapton records, etc., etc. So that was Dr. Blues. And so we are here today for his memorial service. Can you want to talk about that?
Well, it would have been a year ago, close to a year ago today, that he passed away. He passed away at home in his bed in the moonlight, which isn't that a way to go? And this is a year later. And originally the idea was just a few friends to get together and remember him. But this event grew and grew and grew. And it included James Corbett. And you'll see some of the other faces. You know, James came all the way from his area of Japan. And we are really blessed. We really are.
We absolutely are. Thank you for putting this together. And you know what? This isn't the only reason. It is the reason I'm here today, but it isn't the only reason, because also it just so happens that something else is launching here in Japan over the past few days. And so let me show you. Here we are at Kinokuniya Books, which is one of the biggest bookstore chains in Japan, and I just purchased a copy of, what's this? Reportage in Japanese. Specifically, this is called Ninchi Senso, Ninchi Shihai no Zenbo, which is not exactly something that rolls off the tongue, but anyway, I can tell you, they have several copies here at this particular bookstore chain, at least in Osaka, and, well, they have one less right now.
Yes!
Here it is! It's here in the world! It is the Japanese version of Reportage. It's a real deal publication that's available in major bookstores and wherever fine books are sold until they're not, here in Japan. And it wouldn't have come about, realistically, without this man, Brian Nolan. You know him as the community gardener, but he's many, many things, including the grease on the wheels that got this publication going. What? How did that happen, Brian?
Grease on the wheels. I like that. Well, it was last year when you were launching your book at the Deck in Osaka. Mm-hmm. And I was helping out with the book signing, standing right behind James. And somebody came up and said, when's the Japanese version coming out? And James looked up at me with these kind of Cocker Spaniel eyes, saying, can you do it? And I said, no. No. Not that I didn't want to. It's just I was involved in my own book project at the time. But I knew Jim Akudayo way before that. And I knew with the content that he had, you know, done of James, that he was the perfect choice for that project. And this is the result.
Hey guys, James here, back home and going through the footage and realizing that at this point, you will have no idea of Brian's reference there of Jim Akudayo. Who or what is Jim Akudayo? Well, for those not in the know, Jim Akudayo is the translator of the Japanese edition of Reportage. And specifically, he's a guy who about 5, 6, 7 years ago started subtitling conspiracy reality videos from English for the Japanese audience. So putting Japanese subtitles on English conspiracy reality videos, including Corbett Report videos. He has subtitled many of my videos for the Japanese audience. So I've been very grateful for that. And in 2023, we had the chance to meet at one of Tsuyoshi's gigs there in Osaka. And that was the first time we met. And then a couple of years later, when I was thinking about the Japanese translation of Reportage, well, Brian got me in touch again with Jim Akudayo, and he was the one who took the project to Hikaru Land, the Japanese publisher. So if you'd like to know more about Jim Akudayo and his work, his website is at jimakudayo.com. I'll link it up in the show notes.
it is in Japanese. So if you're not a Japanese speaker, you would have to translate it to understand it. But anyway, that is the translator of the book and someone that I was working with on this translation and the translator's notes and other such things that needed to be provided to explain some of these references to the Japanese audience. So I'm very grateful and thankful to Jimakudayo for doing this work. And luckily, while I was there in Osaka, me and Brian had the chance to talk to Jimakudayo and to ask him some questions about the translation. Jimako-san, can you tell us the relevance of this book for the Japanese audience? James's philosophy of freedom stems from anarchism. That philosophy holds that human beings are born free and can do whatever they want as long as they do not infringe upon the rights of others. This philosophy traces back to thinkers like Locke and Rousseau in the 18th century. It is reflected in the Declaration of the Rights of Man and of the Citizen during the French Revolution, as well as in the American Declaration of Independence. In Japan, the Constitution of Japan enshrines this principle. The concept of freedom in the Japanese constitution, that is, human rights, is very strict compared to other countries. Even during the COVID-19 scandemic, while other countries enforced measures like masks and vaccines, Japan was unable to do so. This is due to the human rights provisions. And currently, this is a major issue for the Takaichi administration. The Takaichi administration wants to amend the constitution and ultimately remove the human rights provisions. Specifically, Article 97 of the Japanese Constitution. In the LDP's 2012 draft for constitutional revision, the plan was to delete Article 97 in its entirety. Currently, there is intense debate over constitutional amendments. While much attention is focused on revising Article 9 or adding emergency powers, their real objective is the removal of constitutional protections of human rights. Even if emergency powers were introduced or Article 9 were amended to permit conscription, such measures would still conflict with the Constitution's human rights guarantees. Therefore, those guarantees, particularly Article 97, would ultimately have to be removed. This is the situation Japan finds itself in. That is why the concept of human freedom, as James discusses in this book, becomes so crucial. I believe we must spread this message to everyone.
Well said.
Thank you. Can you say that in English now?
It's very, very difficult for me. You didn't understand?
Oh, I understood perfectly, but the audience might want to hear some of this in English. Anyway, maybe in English, maybe you can just explain, how did you become part of this project? Who and how did that happen?
It's a very long time ago. Around 2016, I'm searching so-called conspiracy videos in YouTube, and happened to watch the James video. It was 2017, and then I contacted James in 2021. But it's nothing. It was nothing. And then 2023, Brian came to our rally, and then Brian said that James will come to Yoshi's session event. So will you come here in Osaka, Highland?
The Highlander, yeah.
Highland?
Yeah. Highland. Great place.
Highland.
Great place.
Yeah. And then I first met James at the place. Hmm. And then And then James published his reportage book, and then Brian says that will you can you translate James' book? And it was 1 year ago, 2025 June. James and Brian came to Tokyo Station, and I decided to translate the book.
Thank you for doing that. And it was, I'm sure, a lot of work. What was the most difficult or interesting part to try to translate for the Japanese audience?
It's always my struggle to translate the English text to Japanese. It's direct translation could not be understood by Japanese people. For example, you wrote the soapbox on the soapbox and inspiring a revolution of consciousness, but it was "石鹸箱 の上に立って革命の意識を inspire せよ." But our editor says that the Japanese people doesn't understand such a expression. So that many of other such things, I changed the translation. For example, I changed the expression to 大きな声を上げて with a loud voice. Every time I translated the English text, I know that the words or expression cannot be understood by Japanese people, so that many translators note in this book also.
Yes, and not only translators' notes, but also there is the interview which you conducted with me to start the book. That was a great idea. Whose idea was that, and how did that come about?
Our editor in the publisher says that firstly, you should have a conversation with James, but I can't speak fluently in English, so that I decided to send the interview text to you, and you answered it.
Well, you might be happy to hear. I published that this past weekend, and I've already heard from several Corbett Report members that it's one of their favorite interviews of me. They say you did a better job than most English speakers do.
Whoa! It's great.
I very much appreciated it. It was a very interesting, thought-provoking interview. There's a lot of good questions there. Thank you very much for doing this. I know that this was a lot of work. I can really appreciate how much work went into this. So thank you for that. My final question would be, Ninchi Senso, Ninchi Shihai no Zenbo. That's a little bit different than reportage. Where did that come from?
What? Not really, a little bit. Big change in the title. It was editor's idea. I didn't do nothing about it. And then he asked me, "It's okay? Is it okay?" So I said, "Okay, it's okay. It may be okay."
And James, I think there's another title somewhere out there. I think it's called Corn Potage.
Oh yes, so that's another one altogether. I wonder what that would translate to. Anyway, Jimako-san, thank you again for your work, and thank you for making this possible.
Yeah, congratulations, Jimako-san. Thanks for your help. Thanks for putting this together.
Thank you.
I knew you were the best choice for the job, and I mean, it's really come through. We were at Kinokuniya today, and just seeing them on the shelf was such a joy. It really was. It really was.
Oh, yeah.
So congratulations to both of you.
Both of you recognize that we are booking Kinokuniya Shoten.
We Are What?
You saw it.
Yeah, the book is there. Yes. Yeah.
Kinokuniya Shoten.
Yeah.
It's in Kinokuniya in Umeda.
In Umeda. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be without you. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Is there anything else? Hoka no message toka?
だから皆さんに読んでほしいですね。あの、一生懸命翻訳したので、皆さん読んでください。
なるほど。アピールコメント。ありがとう。Thank you.
はい、Thank you.
Now, I understand you were busy. You weren't able to work on this book because you might have another bun in the oven, so to speak, and not a baby. A book baby. Tell us about your book baby.
Well, it might not be a bun in the oven, but it certainly is a labor of love. I'm working on a book right now, which is a true story of a man who, at the beginning of the pandemic, refused to put on a mask. And because of that, and there's never been a mask mandate in Japan. That's what people need to understand. But here in Japan, there was a 99% masking rate simply from peer pressure. And they were just not going to let this guy get away with a bare face. And he literally had his life destroyed by that from multiple institutions on multiple levels. Simply because he wouldn't mask up. It's an incredible story. It really is.
It is an incredible story. If I've read a few chapters of it, I am intrigued. So I want to read the rest of it. But incredible story. So I'm not going to ask for a specific timeline, but a general ballpark, when do you think it might be available?
I think probably by September, actually, if everything goes well. The story, I don't expect to be embraced by all publishers because it does have to do with the mask, and a lot of people think that the masks save millions and millions of lives. I know there's going to be some diehard maskers out there who are going to absolutely hate the book, but you know, it's his story.
It will be an interesting one to see the reception. I think that'll, you know, there'll be things to say about that when it happens. Anyway, thank you again for making this happen. Thank you for making this book into a reality. It's published by Hikaru Land. And what we're really here for today is Dr. Blues. So I'm going to go to the memorial service right now, and let's see some of the sights and sounds of that and some of the people who have gathered here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, this is a memorial service for this gentleman right here. This is Dr. Blues Matsuo, who passed away last year. We are actually here in his honor, all gathered together. He was a very influential man, like I said, like a ripple, just kept spreading out. We're sorry that he's gone, but we're happy to be here together.
It's not that...
what can be said about Dr. Blues that hasn't been said already? But I'll say what I can, which is that when you meet Dr. Blues, you immediately encounter his impish energy, his smile, his infectious enthusiasm for life. And everyone that I knew who came in contact with Dr. Blues was similarly affected. So, like Brian has said, Dr. Blues's life has spread out like a ripple effect across Japan and brought all of these people here today together. Not just today, but in life generally. So that is a life well lived. And if only we could all aspire to such a legacy. So thank you, Dr. Blues, for bringing us together. Okay, guys, it was an incredible memorial service. We all had a very good time.
Yep.
And now I am heading back home to the swanky climes of Western Japan. But thank you, Brian, for being a gracious and wonderful host today.
My pleasure, James. Thanks for coming.
No,
really
no
appreciate
problem.
It.
I appreciate you. And thank you to everyone out there who has helped support this and make this dream come a reality. I am a published author in multiple countries now, including Japan. So thank you all for doing what you guys do, and I will be talking to you again in the near future.
In the next issue of The Corbett Report.
The Corbett Report.
Because you're the first mail train I see.